The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Shekalim has been dedicated by Dr. Isaac Meddeb and his wife Lily in memory of Moshe ben Nachel Man. Ruach Hashem Tanihenu Began Eden. We hope that the learning of the 22 Dapim of Masechet Shekalim will be a Ilui Neshama for the Niftar Moshe ben Rachel. Tihi Nishmato Tzerura B'Tzor HaChayim. Amen. Daf Yud Dalad. Today's daf has been dedicated anonymously and in honor and memory of Hacham Baruch Rafael ben Miriam and Abraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanihem Began Eden. Amen. We are starting today's daf on Yud Gimel Amud Bet. And we are on the bottom line. Nekunya Hofer Shehin. So we learned in our Mishnah, one of the appointees in the Beit HaMikdash was a fellow by the name of Nekunya, and his job was to dig the cisterns and the wells in order to provide water for the Oler Galim, for the people that came up to Yerushalayim on the holidays. So the Gemara says, Shaya Hofer Shehin Umarot. He used to dig the cisterns and the wells or the in the caves which are underground. Vahavayada, and he knew Hayden Kef Mekorar Maya. He knew from which rock. Kef is a rock. He knew from which rock comes out cold water. Vahayden Kef Itbe Shar Berube. And he knew from which rock you can get hot water. Furthermore, ve'adhecham sherberibute, and he knew exactly how hot each rock, the water from it gets. So he also knew the temperature of the heat that would emanate from each rock. Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer says, umet beno basama, but eventually his son died from dehydration. How could that be? A man that was so careful in the mitzvah of providing water for the Oler Galim, and then his son should die from nothing less but dehydration. So the Taklin Hattin over here says a very important klal on the third line. Umet beno batzama ki bimida she'adam zehir ba meod, on the trait that a person is very careful on, imu pogem ksat beze, if he becomes a little deficient in that midah, ne'enash alav biyoter. So he gets punished more severely. Which means since he adopted this mitzvah of providing water, so now Borei Olam judges you on that mitzvah more meticulous than somebody else, because that's your mitzvah. So it could be that he was lax a little, where, as for another person, it might not have been considered laxity. But because Nehunya was the Hofer Shehinu Ma'arot, so therefore even a little pegam, a little deficiency in the midah, brought a severe punishment. And he brings a ra'ayat to this over here, from a different Gemara, where the Gemara says how one of the rabbis was very careful, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, he was very careful in the respect of Hachamim. One day he heard that somebody was mezalzel with a rabbi, and he didn't rebuke him. And Borei Olam punished him greatly, right? Because that was his mitzvah. He was very careful when it came to, you know, respecting Hachamim. So for the one time that he kept quiet when somebody embarrassed the rabbi, so he got punished again severely. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rabbi Hanina. Rabbi Hanina taught, Man de Amar Rahamana Vatran. Somebody that says God is a Vatran, meaning he's lax. He doesn't mete out judgment. Even though a person sins, Borei Olam says, he lets it slide. Anybody that says that, Yit Vatran Bene Me'oi. So what happened to him, God will soften his intestines, which means he'll get diarrhea. Which means the way the Taklin Hattin explains, the Pasuk writes, Hu asecha baichon enecha. Pasuk says that God created us. Milamed she'asak kadosh baruch hu koninyut ba'adam. Bore Olam established us in a certain way. She'im nehpach echad mehem, enu yachol lehiyot. Which means if the bowels or the intestines, if they don't work correctly, it's impossible to live. So therefore, he says, uchmo she'kol ikar hayut ba'adam talui b'me'av. Just like the whole life of a person is dependent on his intestines, ken kol ha'olamot tilvim b'ma'aseh b'nei adam. So to all the worlds, the world that we live in the upper worlds, the heavens, they're all dependent on what? Ma'aseh b'nei adam. Either to create them or to destroy them. So therefore, if a person comes along and says, avirot, there's no, doesn't do anything. So he doesn't understand the damage that Averot does to the world, and therefore he thinks, he lets them slide, because what do they do anyway? So you do not understand how Averot destroy the worlds. God will destroy the Olam Katan. A human being is considered a miniature world. And how does he destroy the Olam Katan? By taking his intestines. And therefore, as we said, that's considered destroying the person. Ela, you know what you're allowed to say? Ma'arich ruheh. You're allowed to say that God is patient, meaning He might not punish somebody right away for his sins. He's patient. V'gabe dide. But then eventually he takes payment. V'gabe. He takes payment to him. Comes the Taklina explains a little deeper here. He says that the payment is taken from the sin itself. Because when a person sins, it's if he creates angels that are negative angels, bad angels. And those angels themselves come and attack the person. But he says, Borei Olam is patient. The Pasuk says, Ve'lo yashchit, ve'hirba lehashiv apo. God does not destroy. Ve'hirba, He has great patience, lehashiv apo, controlling His af. Af is anger. There's an angel called Malach Af. So Borei Olam does not destroy immediately, but eventually he does not just let it slide, as we said. Amar of Aha Ketiv. We have a pasuk Usbibav Nisara Meod, which literally means those that are close to him are in turbulence. Sa'ara is like a windstorm or turbulence. So the Gemara is Doresh this pasuk. Bidakdek imahem kihuta sahara. Those people that are close to Borei Olam, they get judged with like the strand of a hair, which means they get judged on every little thing. The bigger a tzaddik is, the more perfect the person is, so therefore his judgment is that much greater. And he writes over here in the Taklin, Velachen. Hayu yireim tzaddikim rishonim shem yigrom achet. That's why the great rishonim, the tzaddikim, they're always scared. Maybe one of their sins is going to cause for them problems. Af het kol behu, even a minor sin. Umedakdek emaim ba'olam hazeh. Why is God so meticulous with them in this world? Kedesh shelo yikansu klal bepetach hatat robetz. God does it in order to protect them from major sins. Which means God doesn't even want to get them to the threshold of sin. So therefore, once even there's a small little thing, He gets the tzaddikim to keep them tzaddikim. So they don't do worse. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rabbi Yoseh, lo mitamazeh. He says, not from this pasuk, but another pasuk that teaches us how careful God is with the tzaddikim. Ela min madichtiv venorahu alko sebibav. God is awesome. Well, God's awe is manifest when on those that are surrounded by Him. Mora'o ala keruvim yoter min arhokim. His awe is seen on the closer ones more than the further ones, because those that are close to Him, as we said, they get judged more severely. Rabbi Haggai, b'shem Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachman, ma'aseh b'chasid echad she'aya chofer. So there was once a fellow who used to dig the wells, the cisterns, for the people that were passing to drink water. One time, his daughter of this fellow was passing to get married. She was walking, and she got drowned by a raging river. V'havon kol ama alelin legabe. So now everybody went to this Hasid, or this fellow, yeah, Hasid, in order to console him. Ba'un minahamte. And they tried to be minahem him. Velo kibel alo mitahama. But he could not accept consolation. After all, he was so careful on giving water, and now his daughter should die in water. Al Rabbi Pinchas bin Yair legabe. So Rabbi Pinchas bin Yair went to visit him as well. Ba'e minahamte. And he wanted to console him. Velo kibel aloi mitnahama. And still, he did not accept nahama. Amar Lon, so Rabbi Pinchas bin Yair told the people of the city, Din hu hasid chon? This is your hasid over. What kind of hasid is this guy? Hasid normally would accept the judgment of God. Says, what kind of hasid is this over here? This is your hasid of the city? Amru le Rabbi. So they said, Rabbi, kach vekach haya oseh, vekach vekach ira'le. Says, what do you mean? It's very hard. This is what he used to do, and this is what happened to him. Which means there's a stira, there's a contradiction over here. How can he be so careful in the water? And what? His daughter should die from the water? Amar. So when Rabbi Pinchas heard this, he said, Efshar shaya mechabedet bor'o b'mayim, v'hu mekapecho b'mayim? Rabbi Pinchas also couldn't understand it. He said, is it possible that this man was so careful when it came to the water? He served God with water, and God now should punish him with water? Miyad nafla havara bi'ir. All of a sudden, a tumult broke out in the city. And, you know, voices started to come out, and see the talk spread. Bat bito shel oto ha'ish. The girl came back. She was alive. What happened? Ite amre besukta et arit. Some say she landed on a branch and she was able to stay afloat in the waters. The ite amre malach yarad kidmut Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair v'tzila. And some say an angel in the image of Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair went down to the waters in order to save her. What's the pshat over here? Once Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair, was the Gadol Ador, said, it can't be. So in the Beit Din Shel Ma'ala, the Beit Din said, well, if the Hachamim on earth say that it's not Mr. Bear, it doesn't make sense for this to happen. So Borei Olam suspends his judgment to the will of Gidolei Israel. So Rabbi Pinchas says, it doesn't make sense. What else doesn't make sense? So we'll go down and save him. Comes the Gemara and continues. Gibini Kiroz. One of the appointees in the Mishnah was a fellow by the name of Givini. And he was the Kroz. He was the one that made the announcement. So it says, what did he announce exactly? Shayam Machriz Bebet HaMikdash. They used to make the announcements at the Bet HaMikdash. Maya Omer, Emdu HaKohanim Na'avoda. He would be the one that would call the Kohanim up in the morning to go start the service. Ulviim Neduchanam. And the Viyim, prepare yourself to stand by the Dukan and sing. Yisrael Ma'amadam. And Yisrael to stand by the Qurban to watch it. Agrifas HaMelech Shama Kolo Ad Het Parsaot. It was so loud, this announcer, that Agrifas the king was able to hear his voice 8 parsaot away. Venatano Matanot Arbe. And because of that, he thought it was a very big talent. He gave him a lot of gifts. The Taklin says, the government of Vilna as well, that there is another Gemara that says his voice traveled 10 parsaot. But the Gemara just said over 8 parsaot, because that's where Agrifas happened to be. He was by 8 parsaot away. But don't think, his voice carried even further than that. Now, we said, does it give us a mileage on the 8 parsaot?
1 parsaot?
18 and a half to 24 miles. That's how far his voice carried. Ben Gever Al Ne'ilat Sha'arim. So one of the fellows in the Mishnah was Ben Gever. He was in charge of the gates, locking the gates and opening the gates, right? So what the Gemara over here is going to do is like this. It's going to now discuss a Mishnah in Masechet Yoma, where also the name Ben Gever or Gever is used. So in the Mishnah in Yoma, we don't know, is Gever a person, or is Gever a rooster? Because sometimes the Mishnah uses the word Gever as a rooster. So we're going to try to prove from our Mishnah that, well, over here is definitely a person. Yeah, a rooster didn't close the gates of the Beit HaMikdash. So if it says Ben Gever Alin Al Chaharim, who's a man, so we want to get a proof that just so the Mishnah in the second Yoma, when it says Gever, is also referring to a person and not a rooster. Nice. What's the proof? Tergem Rav interpreted Kumeh Debet Rabbi Shela. Right in front of in the Bet Midrash of Rabbi Shela. Kara Gabra, says in the Mishnah Yoma. The Gavra called out. Achriz Keroza. And made the announcement in the Beit HaMikdash. Ambar le, emor kera tanigola. When it says over here, the Gavra called out, it's referring to the rooster. Then in the morning, the rooster would, you know, it was the alarm clock. Ambar le, so he said, what do you mean? That taninan ben gever. What do you mean? We learned in the Mishnah Shekalim that when he uses the word gever, it's a person. Ben gever was in charge of the gates. Itach lebebar bar tanigola. What do you mean? What do you think? It's Bartan the Tanigola? I think it's the son of the rooster? Of course not. It's Bartan Gevet, it's a person. Yeah. So just like over here, Gevet means a person, so too in Yoma, when it says there was a Gevet made the announcement, it's a person and not a rooster. Now, Ben Babai Alapakia. Ben Babai was in charge of the wicks of the Beit HaMikdash. What did he do? Shayam Mizayeg Petilot. The Zayeg, the Taklin explains, he used to make them all even, all the same size. So you have Hidur Mitzvah. So they all would, you know, they would light the same amount. It seems like the same thickness and the same length. They would all look the same and also have the same light from each one. The Biyoseh Al Lekufra. The Biyoseh went to a city called Kufra. Ba'u Mimanya Alehon Panasim. So he wanted to appoint over the city Panasim leaders that take care of the welfare of the people. So he wanted to appoint these leaders, velo kibelun minhon, but they didn't want to accept it. Why didn't they want to accept it? So the Taklin explains, because of the principle of, in what we learned the Mishnah Pirkei Avot, usna et rabbanut, which means you're not supposed to run after positions of power. Veratzu libroach min hakavod, and they wanted to run after the kavod, these guys. So the rabbi went to the Parnasim to try to impress upon them to take the job. He told them, Ben Bebai Alapakia. Ben Bebai was the guy in charge of the Beit HaMikdash of the wicks. Uma imze shenitmane ala petilot. Zachal imanot im gedolei ador. Atem sheatem netmanin al hayene fashot lokol sheken. Says, look at this guy, Ben Bebai. Seemingly he had a small little job. He was in charge of the wicks. But what? The Mishnah lists him with all the Gedolim, which means all the other great people that worked in the Beit HaMikdash. Ben Bebai is already now associated with these great people. And that's because he only served Klai Yisrael for making wicks. Imagine you people now. You're going to be involved in saving lives. After all, you're the leaders of the community. You're going to be taking care of the welfare of the community. All the more so. Do you know what a zikut is and what a privilege is? Ben Bebai is recorded with the tzaddikim. Well, the more so, you, by doing much more than wicks, you're going to have a great faith. So therefore, he was trying to impress upon to take the job. Ben Arza ala tzilzal. Ben Arza was in charge of the tzilzal. The Taklin Hatin explained on the Mishnah, tzilzal is a symbol. He says the word symbol. Which means they had symbols that would, you know, crash them together, so that the Levim would know that they start the shir. Mara says, Kiha de taninan taman. Like we learned over there, Heni fasegan besudarim. You had the vice kohen that was standing by the korban. When the korban was already brought on the mizbeah and they were about to pour the wine, so he would give a signal with a sudar, with a handkerchief, he would wave it, in order to let Ben Arza know that we're ready for the Levi'im. Ve'kish Ben Arza ala silsal. So there was a signal. He got the signal from the mizbeah, and then he would, you know, bang the cymbals, then the Levi'im would start the shir. Hugraz ben Levi al Ashir. Now, Hugraz ben Levi was in charge of the choir. He was in charge of the songs of the Levi'im. Amar Rav Aha. Rav Aha said, Ni'ima yetera haya yodaya. Meaning he had a very melodious voice. Ni'ima. Very melodious voice. V'amru alav Al Hugras bin Levi, and they said regarding Hugras bin Levi, Shayam Man'imit Kolo Bezemir, that he used to make his voice sound beautiful. His voice was even able to sound like an instrument.
Wow.
How? He would put his thumb in his mouth in a certain position, haya motzi kama mine zimir. Many different sounds of like instruments would come out. That you call Ehava Kohanim, and all the Kohanim, his brothers, Nizkarin lo bebatrosh, which means they were taken aback, right. Which means they were so startled by the sounds that he was able to make. It's so, therefore, they jump back. Right? So, that's the way the they explain it. Okay. Now, Bet Garmu. So we said that the family of Garmu, Al Maase Lechem Panim. So they were in charge of the Lechem Panim, the showbread. Bet Garmu Ayu Bekiin B'Maase Lechem Panim. They, first of all, were experts in making the Lechem Panim. As we know, the Lechem Panim were not just regular loaves of bread. They had a very special shape that was very difficult to make. Ubiridiyato. Harder than making the showbread was getting it out of its pan, because they were baked in pans. But since they were hollow on the inside, so you had to, you know, scoop it from the bottom and take it out of the tray. But the chokhmah was to take it out of the tray without it breaking. Yeah. So the chokhmah was not only baking the bread, but the didiyatapat, you know, taking it out. Velo ratzu lelamid. But they didn't want to teach anybody. This was a family secret that they didn't want to share the secret how to do it with anybody else. So the rabbis sent Alexandria. They went to Alexandria in Egypt and they brought experts in order to make the lechem panim. Shayu bikim ma'aseh lechem panim. These guys from Alexandria were experts in the lechem panim. Ubridiyato lo ayu bikim. But they couldn't get it out of the trays. Every time they would get out of the trays, it would break somehow. So Bet Garmu. The Gemara now tells us the difference between Bet Garmu and those guys from Alexandria. Bet Garmu ayu masikim mibifnim. Now, we're going to read our text. I want you to know that the Taklin and the Gaon, they had a different text. We'll follow the text that's written in our Gemara. They were masik mibifnim, meaning they baked the bread inside the oven. Verodin mibachutz. And then, after the bread is fully baked, they would take the tray out of the oven. And when it's out of the oven, they were able to make the didiyat out of the tray. So the reason why that was very advantageous is because they would wait till the bread is fully baked. So once the bread is fully baked, then they take it out of the oven and they make the didiyat. Velo aita mitapeshet. Since it was fully baked, it did not spoil. The elu, but the guys from Alexandria, hayu masikim mibifnim virodim mibifnim. The problem is they were not able to take the tray out and make the didiyah out of the oven. They were only able to make the didiyah in the oven. But what would happen? They would make the didiyah in the oven, the bread wasn't baked yet. It wasn't fully baked. So what would they do? They would make the didiyah tapat on not full baked bread. So when they took it out, it was still raw. What would end up happening to the bread? It would get spoiled. So they would catch 22. They could only make the didiyah when it was inside. But they would only make the didiyah before it was fully baked to get it out. Once they got it out already, it was too, you can't put it back in. And if it would turn in, it would spoil. So it seems that the chokhmah bet garmu was, the didiyah was able to be done outside the oven. It was fully baked.
But Hadi says that it was...
It would crack.
It would crack once it's fully baked.
Correct. That was the chokhmah. That it didn't break apart by bet garmu.
They would do it when it was soft. It crack. But not baked.
Perfect. Kivan shiyadu hachamim bedavar hazeh. When the hachamim found out that only the Bet Garmu family is able to do this over here, and these guys from Alexandria can't do the job, amru kol ma shevara kadosh baruch hu lechbodo bara. Now listen, everything that a kadosh baruch hu created, he created for his honor, which means these people over here, they have this talent. God gave them this skill, and therefore the skill was given to them to serve God. And therefore what they want to say is, if we have to pay them more money, we'll pay them more money just to get them to do the job. Shnei Imar, kol pa'al Hashem, anything that God created in the world, I mean any talent that he gave to a human being, the ma'anehu, it's in order to serve. So what did they do? Shalhu aharehim. So they sent to Bet Garmu, you know, to go start working again. They don't want to come back. They hired the guys from Alexandria. Let the guys from Alexandria do it. Until they doubled their salary. Originally they used to get 12 mana. They doubled them to 24. ונתנו להם ממחת. Some said that they took it from 24 to 48. אמרו להן, מפני מה אין אתם רוצים ללמד? How come you don't want to teach anybody this tradition of how to make the lechem apanim? אמרו להם, מסורת היא בידינו מאבותינו. We have a tradition from our forefathers. שהבית הזה עתיד לחרב. That this Beit HaMikdash eventually is going to be destroyed. שלא ילמדו אחרים ויעשו לפני עבודה זרה שלהם. We don't want anybody, we don't want the recipe to get into the wrong hands. And then the people after the Beit HaMikdash are going to use this special recipe to make it in front of Avodah Zarah. So we're preserving it lichbod ha-shechina. We don't want this to get into the hands of the wrong people. בדברים הללו מזכירים אותם לשבח. When they said these words over here, then already we praised them. Which means we realized that the reason that they were holding it back was not selfish reasons. They were holding it back because they didn't want it to get into the wrong hands. שלא יצא. Now, בדברים הללו, now regarding the following things, מזכירים אותם לשבח. On the following, as the Gemara is going to quote now, we also praise them. Why? שלא יצא ביד ביניהם פת נקייה מעולם. In their family, they never would eat clean white bread. Why? שלא יהיו אומרים מעשה לחם הפנים הן אוכלים. Because they didn't want to be suspicious in the eyes of the people. Which means, in the lechem ha'panim was beautiful, solid, nikiya, clean bread. They would make sure in their homes never to have clean bread. Because they were worried that the people might say, oh, look at these guys. They're eating from the lechem ha'panim. So they would always have black bread in their house. To be above the suspicion of the people. So the Gemara said, V'itim nikiyim, Hashem Yisrael. So the Gemara is saying over here, they praise for this over here. That what? They never would have the bread. How careful they were that the people shouldn't talk about them. Bet Aptinas, the family of Aptinas, al maaseh ketoret. They were in charge of making the incense. Shel Bet Aptinas, ayu bekim al maaseh pitum ketoret. Pitum means the mixing of the ketoret. Right, you have to mix the spices. Ube maaleh ashan, but they were really expert. There was a certain herb that was called maaleh ashan. That was the name of the herb. And what does the herb do? When you stick it into the ketoret, it causes the smoke to go straight up like a stick. Normally, a smoke, it dissipates, you know, it just goes from side to side. This Ma'ale Ashan herb would take the smoke of the ketoret straight up like a stick. So that was their chokmah. They knew exactly where the herb was. Ve'lo ratzu lelamed. They didn't want to tell anybody about it. They didn't want to teach anybody. Shalhu ve'vi'u manim Alexandria. So again, they sent to Alexandria to get experts. Ve'ayu bekibi pitum ketoret. They knew the pitum ketoret. They were able to mix the spices. Ve'ma'ale ashan lo ayu bekin. But they didn't know about this herb called the ma'ale ashan herb. Shelbet aptinas haytam mitamberet ve'oleh kimakil. The bet aptinas ketoret would go straight up like a stick. Ufosa ve'yoredet. And then when it would come down, it would spread out. Veshel elu hayta fosa miyad. These guys in Alexandria, it would spread out from the beginning. Miyad. Kevan shiyadu hachamim bedavar. When the rabbis found out the difference between these guys, amru kol ma shebara kadosh baruch hu lechbodo bara. Listen, everything that God created, He created for His honor. Sheneemar kol hanikra b'shmi lechbodi berati. Anything that has my name was called, and my name is created for my honor. Therefore, if we have to pay them more money to do the job, that's for bore olam. We skip the parentheses. Shalhu acharehim velo ratzo labo. They said after they don't want to come. Until they doubled their salary. They jumped from 12 to 24. They jumped from 24 to 48. How come you don't want to teach the ketoret? אמרו להם מסורתי בידינו מאבותינו. We have a tradition from our forefathers. שהבית הזה עתיד לחרב. That the Beit HaMikdash eventually is going to be destroyed. שלא ילמדו אחרים ויהיו עושים כן לפני עבודה זרה. Again, we don't want this to get into the wrong hands, and then the people are going to use it for עבודה זרה. So therefore, we keep the family secret. שלהם בדברים הללו, regarding the following items, מזכירים אותם לשבח. The Hakamim mention them, they praise them. Why? Shelo yatzat isha mishel echad mehem mibusemet me'olam. The ladies of the Bet Aptina's family never went out in the marketplace with besamim on, with perfume on. Why? Because they didn't want the people to say they're using the ketoret for besamim, for perfume. So again, so to be above the scrutiny of the people, their family, the woman would never wear besamim. When somebody from the Bet Aptina's family would marry, you know, an outsider from a different place, they would make a stipulation before they got married. That was the condition. I only marry you on the condition that you tell me you're not going to wear besamim, perfume. Why? Shelo yehu omrim mimaase pitom ketoret hen mitbasemot. So the people shouldn't say that from the ketoret spices, that's where they're getting, you know, the fragrance from. The kayem mashne emar v'item nekiim Hashem u'Yisrael. To fulfill the pasuk that says you have to be clean, above scrutiny, in the eyes of God and in the eyes of people. Amar Rabbi Yosef, Tamachat Hiti Omed Birushalayim. Rabbi Yosef says, one time I was standing in Yerushalayim, Umatzati Tinok Echad Meshev Bet Aptinas. And I saw a young child that came from the family of Aptinas. Amarti lo beni, Me'ez Mishpachat, what family are you from? Amar li, Me'mishpachat Peloni. Yeah, from this family. Amarti lo beni, Avotecha lefi shenitkavenu lerabot kevodam ulma'et kevod shamayim. Your ancestors, since their kavanah was what? To promote their own kavod, because they didn't want to give the recipe out. They wanted to promote their own kavod, and they wanted to minimize the kavod of shamayim by it. What happened? Leficha kevodam nitma'et. What happened? Their kavod was nitma'et, which means they lost their position. The Kevod Shamayim Nitrabe. And there's some learn this Kevod Shamayim Nitrabe as its euphemism, it's Sagi Nahor. And the Kevod Shamayim was also Nitma'it, which is when the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, so the Kevod Shamayim also went down. But some learn it that no, Kevod Shamayim was Nitrabe with the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. Because when the Goyim saw that Borei Olam does not show favoritism to any nation, that even when the Jewish people do something wrong, Borei Olam punishes them. So what they were trying to say is, your ancestors, they kept the secret to themselves, and therefore, look what happened. You lost your job, and the Beit HaMikdash got destroyed. Borei Olam's honor was promoted, and your honor of the family was demoted. So comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, Sahli Shimon ben Luga. He says, Shimon ben Luga told me, Melaket hayiti asabim. This is one day I was picking herbs. Ani v'tinok echad meshev bet aptinas. And there had to be a child there from the family of aptinas. V'ra'iti oto shebacha v'ra'iti oto shesachak. I saw he was crying, the kid, and then he was laughing. Amarti lo beni, lama bachita? What are you crying for? Amar li, al kebod shel bet abba shenitma'et. Because of our family business, the family honor was diminished after the Beit HaMikdash. That's when the family lost its job of making the ketoret, and it seemed that the kavod of the family went down. So I'm crying about our family. Velama sahakta? So why are you laughing? Amar li ala kavod amtukan tzadikim na'atidavo. Because I know that our kavod is going to be restored. We're going to get our job back. When the Beit HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt, our job is going to go back to its original position. So the Gemara says, Umara ita. Why now? Why all of a sudden now you're laughing? What reminded you of your family's position? He says, Ma'ale Hashan lenigdi. He says, because I'm standing in front of the Ma'ale Hashan herb. And therefore, when I saw the Ma'ale Hashan herb, so I remembered my family's position. So nomiti lo. So he says, so I asked him, Beni, had euni. Show me the herb. Where's the Ma'ale Hashan herb? Amali Rabbi, Mesoret Piyadim Avotai. We have a family tradition or a swear that we made each other swear. Shelo laroto lebereyahu. That we're not going to show it to human beings. We cannot show it. Amar Rabbi Yohanan ben Nuri, Pagabi zaken echad b'shel bet aptinas. There was once an old man from the family of Aptinas. Umigilat samanim biyado. He had a book, a Megillah, with all the names of the spices in the book, where they're found, and what they look like.
A picture book.
He had a recipe book of all the besamim. They called it Megillat samanim.
Nice.
Amar li, so he told me, this fellow, Rabbi, the Sha'avar hayu bet abad sinu'in. Originally, our family, they were very modest and discreet. And we used to pass around the book to the family because we trusted everybody that they're not going to give it to any outsiders. However, but now that our family is not the iman anymore, we can't trust our family with the book. So therefore, hilach at the you take the Megillah. Now, what do we see from this story? We see from this story, really, that Bet HaPinas was Lashem Shamayim. Because, you see, once already the family lost its integrity, they gave the book out again. They gave the book to somebody else. Ela, you see what? That originally when they were only holding the book, it was so it doesn't get into the wrong hands. But now, once the family could not be trusted anymore, they gave the book to the rabbi. Yeah. So the Gemara says, Ushebati v'ritzeti adebarim lefter Rabbi Akiva. He says, when I came to tell the story from Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Hanan ben Nuri said, when I came to tell the story from Rabbi Akiva, what happened? Zalgu enav dema'ot. Rabbi Akiva started to cry. Ve'amar me'ata en'anu tzirichim laskidam negnai. From now on, we do not mention them in a disparaging manner. Because really, we see that they were Lashem Shavayim. They see they gave up the book. And then you must see that the original one they didn't give up the book was because they were just concerned that it doesn't get into the wrong hands. El'azar ala parochet. Elazar was in charge of what? Making the curtains for the Beit HaMikdash. Shaya memune al urge parochet. He himself didn't make the curtains. He was in charge of the weavers that would make the kentot. He was the manager. Pinhas amalbish. Pinhas was in charge of dressing the kohanim. Shaya malbish bigdei keuna gedula. Meaning he was in charge of dressing the kohanim, he was the valet of the kohanim. And some explain also he would measure them and make sure the clothes fit. Ma'aseh b'kohen echad, and the Gemara is going to show us how this is a very hashuv job. We get paid money for this. Ma'aseh b'kohen echad, shelbish le'istartiyot echad. He dressed a certain certain military official or officer. He dressed him in his garments. Benatano shmona zehuvim. He paid him 8 gold coins for the service. The Ida Amrin, then Asar Yahibne. And some say gave him 12 coins. So you see, there's a Hashuv job over here to dress the Hashuv people. Halakha bet. We start now the next Mishnah. En pohatin mishiv'a amarkolin. Now we're going to discuss the officials in the Beit HaMikdash. So there was a certain system of management and middle management and higher management. So the Gemara says, you had a minimum of 7 amarkelin. Those are 7 supervisors. Which means managing the Beit HaMikdash, the ones that walk around with the keys, they have to have at least 7. Ushlosha gizbarin. And you have to have at least 3 people in the treasury. Ve'en osin sirara ala mamon. You have to add the word al mamon asibur ta'o mishnayim. When you're dealing with mamon sibur, when you're dealing with the monies of the community, you cannot have less than 2 people that are involved. No, 2 it says.
2, yes.
Ta'ot mishnayim, less than 2. Meaning you need at least 2 people. You cannot have 1 person running all the treasury of the Kodesh. Chutz, there was 2 exceptions where they let one guy run the monetary issues. Who is that? Chutz mi-ben Ahiya al chodeh me'ayim. We got to our Mishnah earlier. Ben Ahiya was in charge of the intestines of the Kohanim. What do you mean in charge of them? He was the doctor there. He would get them the special wine and the special things that cured their intestines. Now that's a monetary position because you've got to go buy from the Hikdash. You have to buy the medicine. They trusted him with the money to go do it. Ve'el'azar ala parochet. And Elazar, who spent the money to go pay for the curtains, she'otan kiblu roba sibur alehem. These guys, they were accepted by the majority of the sibur. But besides these 2, any person that had a job in the Beit HaMikdash that had to spend money, you need 2 people again to overlook on each other to make sure that there is there's honesty. Comes again what it says, en pohatin megimel gizbarim. Now the Mishnah says, we quote from the Gemara, you need at least 3 gizbarim. Those are the people in charge of the treasuries of the Beit HaMikdash. You're emptying out the terumot, etc., and the shekalim there when you're managing the funds of the Beit HaMikdash. Umizayin amarkolin. And you have 7 on top of them.
you have the three gezmarim, and you have seven
like management,
managing the people under them. Tani mishneh ketlikin, and over the seven you had two overseers. So you have two overseeing the seven, overseeing the three. Mm-hmm. So again, you had higher management, middle management, and lower management. Hadau dichtiv. So the Gemara is going to give a remez to this in a pasuk. Now, what does the pasuk say? Pasuk says, this was in the times of Hizkiyah Melech. It's going to say how he appointed different people in the Beit HaMikdash.
Okay.
So it says, V'chiel V'azazyahu V'nahat. Those three, Gemara says Gizbarim. Like the Mishnah says, three treasurers. Now, V'asael V'dimot V'yozabad V'eliel V'yismachyahu U'mahat U'bnayahu Amarkolim. So they were the supervisors. Those are seven. Now the pasuk continues. Pekidim miyad Kananyahu V'shim'i Achiv. They were the Ketlikin. Those two were the overseers above them. So you see the pasuk gives you three, then it gives you seven, then it gives you two. B'mifkad, and they were appointed by who? Yehizkiyahu HaMelech, that's King Hizkiyahu. V'Azariyahu Nagid Bet Elohim. And Azariyahu was the leader of the house of God. HaMelech v'Kohen Gadol. Hizkiyahu was the Melech, and the Nagid Bet Elohim was the Kohen Gadol. Now, it gives you the system now. Let's say they needed to lock up the funds of the Beit HaMikdash. They collected funds, right? They want to have savings. So they need to put a seal and a lock on the funds to spend it for a later date. So the Gemara is going to tell us now how careful they were when it came to the Mamon of the Sibur, in order that everybody should know that it's not getting stolen. How? Kishihu chotem. When they would seal the funds, Hagizbar chotem. First, the Gizbar would put his seal. Everybody had a different seal. Mm-hmm. So the first seal on the monies was what? From the Gizbar. V'notno la'amarkol. They give it to the supervisor above him. Amarkol chotem. He puts his seal above it. V'notno le'ketlikun. He gives it to the overseer. Ketlikun chotem. V'notno le'kohen gadol. Kohen gadol chotem. V'notno la'melech. And then you give it to the king, and the king
seals it.
Puts his seal on it. So everybody's seal is on top of each other. Ushum matir. Now when you want to open it, you have to open up in reverse order. Hamelech ro'e chotamo umatir. The king looks on top. If he sees his seal there, he knows it wasn't tampered. Okay? He takes his seal off. Kohen gadol ro'e chotamo umatir. Katlikin ro'e chotamo umatir. Amarkal ro'e chotamo umatir. Gizbar ro'e chotamo umatir. So therefore, in order to ensure that nobody took from the pot, so they would give it to everybody, and he'd have to verify that his chotam is still in place, and then already they would open it.
Nice.
Comes the Gemara and says, Rav Nachman b'shem Rabbi Mana. Al shem, we could base this on a pasuk, because what did it say? It says when it comes to monetary appointments, you have to have at least two people involved. So what does it say? Pasuk says, "Vehem yikhu et hazahav ve'et ha'techelet ve'et ha'argaman." So they collected money for the Mishkan. It says, "Vehem yikhu et hazahav." Two people collected the gold, not one. Moshe and Aaron. Now, even though, can anybody question Moshe and Aaron? So the Gemara is going to say that what? That they did question Moshe and Aaron. And the Gemara's proof is going to be that if Moshe and Aaron were the most honest people, and still, they weren't above the scrutiny of the people. So therefore, they had to do with two people, Kavahom and everybody else. Who else has the honesty of Moshe Rabbeinu to say that they could, you know, manage it alone? So comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rabbi Hamma. Rabbi Hamma said, Be Rabbi Hananya, Mepesodet Sheluchot Yashir Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu was very wealthy. Where did he get his wealth from? From the shavings of the luchot. When they were sapphire. The luchot, the tablets were made out of sapphire. So Moshe Rabbeinu chiseled them. So the pasuk says, Pesol lecha. Pesol lecha means the psolet the shavings of the chiseling will belong to you. Hada udichtiv pesol lecha shnei luchot abanim. Pesol lecha shetea pesolet shelcha. Which means he was rich on his own. Yeah. But what did the people say? We're going to see. The people thought that he took from the Bet HaMikdash. So therefore, the Gemara says he has to be with two people just to show an accounting that he didn't. Amar of Hanin. Another interpretation where Moshe Rabbeinu got his wealth from. Masav shel abanim tovot u'margaliyot baralo HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitoch aholo. Borei Olam put under Moshe Rabbeinu's tent a quarry that had in it all precious stones and all different type of pearls. So he became rich. He was living on a mine. Umimenu yashid Moshe. Now Ketiv, the pasuk says, "Vebitu ahare Moshe ad bo'o ha'ohela." Says they would look at Moshe when he was walking to the tent. They were looking at him from behind. So Teren Amoraim. So the two Amorim explained, what were they looking at? Had amar lignai. Some say they were looking at him in a bad way, in a disparaging way. The had amal the sheban. Some say in a praiseworthy way. Manda balignai, they would say, hamon shakin. Look at Moshe Rabbeinu's legs, or his thighs, very fat. See, they were trying to say he must be stealing from the Kodesh, and he's eating good. And look at him, he's gaining weight. Hamon karein. Look at his legs. His legs are plump. Hamon kopoi. Look at the fat. He has a lot of flesh. Achil min Yehuda, eh? He's drinking from the Jews. Veshate min Yehuda. He's eating from the Jews and he's drinking from the Jews. Meaning, he's getting all his food and is gaining his weight from siphoning funds from the Beit and from the Kodesh. So again, so you see if Moshe Rabbeinu
is
Hoshedim. So the Gemara says, Kol medile min Yehuda, eh? They said on Moshe Rabbeinu, anything that he has is from us, is from the Jews. And therefore, if Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't above the screen, you see what you need.
Two.
You need at least two people in order to show an accounting. And some say no. When they looked at Moshe, they said it, the Sheva. The praise. Mehamed Sadiqaya. Look at these Sadiqim. It's a zechut that we have to look at these Sadiqim. At the Moshe. It is a great zechut to be able to even look at Moshe Rabbeinu. Comes the next Mishnah, Halakha Gimar, Matnitin. Now the Mishnah is going to discuss the order of Chotamot that they had in the Beit HaMikdash. In the Beit HaMikdash, if a person needed to get, let's say, Nesachim, he needed, you know, to buy the wine libations for the Beit HaMikdash, so they would have a system. There are basically four or five different measurements for Nesachim, for different Korbanot. The Torah tells you exactly the proper measurement. So what they would do is, according to one opinion, they would have four Chotamot, four seals, four like tickets. You'd go into the Beit HaMikdash. Right, you'd go to the certain guy that was in charge, and you would tell him, you know, what type of korban you need to bring, and he would give you a ticket that would be an indication how much wine you need for that korban. Mm-hmm. Now he would take that ticket and go to the wine vendor, and he'd give him the ticket.
Redeem it.
And redeem it. So he'd pay the guy, get a ticket, go redeem his wine libation from the other vendor, and then he would give him. So what were the four tickets that implied the four different shiurim of the Nesachim? So it says, Arba'a chotamot ayu b'mikdash. V'chatuv alehin egel. One added on to egel, which is a lily, a calf. Zachar. Kar is a male, which the Gemara will explain, so about an ayel, it's about a ram. Because in Aramaic, the rams are called dichra. Gidi. Gidi would be a goat. V'choteh, and a sinner. Again, that symbolized the four different type of korbanot, but basically it's referring to the four different types of nesachim. Look at the taklin hatin. It's three lines after they get wide. Arba chotamot. Now, gimel, three of them, le gimel nesachin halukin, are referred to three wine libations shel behemot, of the behemot. Chotam rishon, the first seal, leniske bakar. That's for the bakar, it's for the cattle. Then gimel estronim solet, balul v'hatziyahin shemin, v'yayin lenetzech hatziyahin. Right? V'chotmin Egin. And on that one they put the word Egin. Now, Vabed Zachar. What is Zachar? Leniske Ayil. That's for the rams. Shetirgem Dikhra. Zachar, Dikhra, it's a ram. Vinesachav, what's the Shi'ur? Bet Esronim Solet, Balul Beshemin Shilishitain, Vayayin Lenasek Shilishitain. Vagim of the third Chotam was what? Gedi. Leniske Keves Ben Shinato. That was for a Keves. A sheep that was 1 year old. Min esaron solet balul b'ri'itayin shemen v'yayil alesek l'v'itayin. V'adalid, the fourth seal was what? Choteh. V'hem nesachav shal mesora ashir shemevi, a mesora, a leper, that got over his leprosy, who was rich. He has to bring three animals. Mevi shalosh behemot. V'sarich yud lugin shemen, means 10 log of shemen, legimel kevasim, v'ehad למתן תנוח בעונות וקרי לחוטה משום דמים בערכין על זין דברים נגעים באים. The reason why they call the מצורה a חוטה is because the Gemara says you get מצורה because of sins. So they refer to them as a חוטה. So basically these four seals will cover all the options for any type of קורבן and will cover the נסחים. Comes the Gemara, Mishnah says בין עזי עומד חמישה היו. So first of all there were five seals Hotamot, the Aramit Ketuv Alehem. And since the majority of the people in those days spoke Aramaic, so they would mark them in Aramaic. What did they say? Egel, okay, that's the same one as the first one. Dechar, which we need the Ayil. Gedi, Chote Dal, Vechote Ashir. Which means in the Mitzorah, you had two different korbanot. If he was rich, he would bring three animals. If he was poor, he would bring the birds. So that was a different shiur of nesachim as well. So they put two separate tickets, one for chote ashir and one for chote dal. Now, egel, the ticket that has egel, mishamesh im neske bakar, that would be for all animals that came from cattle, gedolim uktanim, doesn't matter how old they are, zecharim utkebot. Male or female. So once you got the egel ticket, you know it covers all this type of animals. Ugdi mishamesh im niske ason. The gedi covers sheep. Gedolim uktanim, again, big or small. Zecherim unkebot. Chutz mesher elim. Except for an aisle. Doesn't include the rams.
It's a separate one, maybe.
Right, rams have a separate ticket. Aisle. Meshamesh im neske elim bilvad. I only got comes to the grams. Chote meshamesh im neske shalosh behemot shel metzora. Okay, and the chote is the blood libation and the wine libation for the three animals that the metzora would bring. Now, mishu mevakesh nesachim. That gives you the system how it worked. A guy needed wine. What did he do? Holech lo etzel Yohanan. He would go to the guy called Yohanan. Shum mimune ala chotamot. He was in charge of giving out the tokens or the seals or the tickets. Venoten lo ma'ot. So you pay. You pay for the amount of wine. Umekabel mimenu chotam. You get the seal. Ba'lo etzel achya. Then with the token that you have in your hand, you go to the guy in the bed of the guy's called achya. Shum mimune ala nesachim. Venoten lo chotam. You give him the token. Umekabel mimenu nesachim. Now, in the evening, both Yohanan and Achaya have to make accounting to see if the register adds up. So it says, La'erev ba'in ze etzel ze. So Achaya would come to Yohanan, etc. V'Achaya motzi et achotamot. Achaya would take out all the tokens that he has. U'mekabel kenegdan ma'ot. And Yohanan would have to pay him for each token. So they make sure that Yohanan has enough money to equal the amount of tokens
that were given out.
In Pahatu, if let's say there was less money, there were more tokens than the money collected, Pahatu no. V'yishalem Yohanan mebeto. Yohanan would have to pay from his own pocket. Wow. If there was a shortfall. V'im hotiru. But if there was more money, hotiru lehigdesh. Higdesh gets the money. Shiyad higdesh ale alyona. Again, the hand of higdesh always has the advantage. So the losses, Yohanan has to pay. The advantages, Ekdesh gets. Now, Misha Abad Chotamo. Let's say a guy bought goods. Or he bought his token. Yeah, or he lost it
on the way before he was.
So now, what do you do?
Police report.
Mamtinim lo ada erev. So what they do is they wait until the evening. The imatzu lo kede hotamo notnim lo. Now, when they balance out the funds, if they see that there's an extra, there's extra payment over here, and there's one extra hotam, there's a payment over here, there's one less hotam, and one extra payment, so you know that the guy's legitimate. So he really lost it. So notim lo, you give it to him. However, im lav, lo ayu notim lo. But if it worked out even, then already you say, okay, you know, maybe the guy's lying or something, or maybe, you know, whatever it is. Now, v'shem hayom katuv alehen mepene haramayim. They would write the date on the tokens because of the crooks. Now, what do these crooks do? So the Qurban Aida explains over here. The Qurban Aida explains, and I read, shemim matza chotam shenafal mahavero, which is the wife for the guys. Let's say somebody lost a token, right? So some ganav is going to pick it up and steal it.
That's good.
Now, or maybe Ahiyah dropped it, or maybe Yohanan dropped it. Okay. So therefore, we have a date. Now, we're not worried that a guy's going to pick up a token on the day that it was issued, because the guy's looking for it. Another guy's looking for it, so you're not going to steal on the day where another guy's looking for that exact token, you might get caught. So what are we worried about? That after the day, you might pick up a token that was lost, now you come the next day and redeem it. So they put a date on it. They say, hey, you're a wise guy. This date over here, it's expired. So therefore they would ensure that what? That the ma'im would not take tokens that didn't belong to them. Or another problem. Let's say on one given day, the price of the wine was low.
He
bought a lot of tokens. And now what? When the price of wine went up, so now you'd redeem the token, so you end up buying expensive wine for the cheaper price. This is losing. So therefore, they put dates on the tokens, so that the Ma'im will not be able to play any tricks.